I've just got a message. Somebody asked me if I was going to preach tonight, and I said, I've got this three-hour message I wanted to bring. And I never would speak for that long, and I'm not going to speak for long at all. That's not my intent. I want to go home too. We've got stuff we've got to do. But we do want to honor God, and we want to worship Him. And sometimes, you know, the hustle and bustle of Christmas can actually detract from what the real meaning of Christmas is all about. Is that right? And so that's why I'm so pleased that you're all here tonight. But I just want us to make room before I say anything else, really, for God to touch people's lives. I've just got a scripture that I just read actually this morning, and it struck my heart. And I'll just read it to you. It's a very brief scripture. And we've had some beautiful scriptures from the book of Luke talking about the birth of Jesus. But I read this scripture as part of my daily Bible reading. And it just resonated with my heart. And I just thought, I need to read it to you tonight. And then we're going to pray. We're going to pray for miracles to take place in this place tonight on Christmas Eve. And this is a verse, or the verses. It says, later Levi invited Jesus. This actual verse I'm going to read to you is actually the reason why Jesus came into the world. Levi, or Matthew is his other name, invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. It's interesting that tax collectors are called disreputable sinners in the Bible. Let's not go there, amen. But then it says, but when the teachers of religious law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with tax collectors and other sinners, they asked his disciples, and this is what they said. They said, why does he eat with such scum? And when Jesus heard this, he told them, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I've come to call not those who think they're righteous, but those who know they are sinners. Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. Jesus Christ is the divine doctor who stepped in our world for scumbags like me, like you. And today we're just going to pray. And you might have a huge need, and we might not be able to help you, but God can help you. Jesus is here right now. You might not even, read your Bible. You might not be a church-going person. That's completely irrelevant. Jesus is here right now, and He just wants to touch your life today. So why don't we just pray? Let's just close our eyes. We close our eyes so we don't get distracted. And let's just focus for a moment on Jesus. And if today you're feeling like you're that scumbag, if today you need a miracle, if today you need peace, if today you need a touch in your body, if today you need peace in your mind, if today you're concerned about your family gathering over Christmas, whatever it is, you know, life has lots of different kinds of burdens. Put your hand upon your heart. We're going to pray about that right now. And whatever it is that weighs you down, just whisper it to the Lord this Christmas Eve, right now in Jesus' name. Father, we just thank you that you, Jesus, stepped into our world. And while the Pharisees were trying to be offensive, the truth is we are scum compared to heaven, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But Lord, you stepped into our world and you came into the stuff of life because, Lord, you care. And you care for our sickness. You stepped into our world to bring health and healing and to make us right with God. And this Christmas Eve, there's many of us here tonight, Lord, who need a miracle. We need a breakthrough. We run here and there. Nobody can help us. So we call upon the name of the Lord tonight. And we just pray right across this congregation this Christmas Eve that you'll touch hearts, we pray. Touch lives, we pray. We pray for miracles. We pray, Lord, you'll make the sick well, whatever the need is. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And right now, we just receive answers to our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Do you receive that? Amen. I'll say that again. Do you receive that? Yes! Amen. Who's going to have a great Christmas tomorrow? Yes, amen. I've got a little clip I just want to show you, and then I'll just speak for just a couple of minutes. But I want you to check this clip out. Thanks. Thank you.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you for being here. This is an incredibly special event, one not witnessed in our lifetime, or ever for that matter. We are here to select the couple that will give birth to and raise the savior of this world. This baby is the one that each of us, all of mankind, has been waiting for. He is the Messiah promised, and his name will be Jesus. Now, only one couple will be selected, and you should be aware that certain requirements will be asked of you. I will quickly go through the list, and if you choose not to participate, feel free to leave at any time, and thank you for your interest. So here we go. The couple must not yet be married, but engaged, which should be all of you. This sounds crazy, but ladies, you will become pregnant and not by your fiance or any other man. It will be the work of the Holy Spirit. And I'm not fully qualified to explain how that will work, so an angel will be coming to do just that. Many won't understand, and you're gonna have to be okay with that. It will be a difficult pregnancy, requiring painful travel. In fact, you will deliver in an unfamiliar place far from home. You'll have no place to stay, no hospitals, no doctors, no nurses. You probably assume this already, but it will be a natural birth, no drugs. When the baby's born, you will wrap him in rags and lay him in a box that farm animals eat from. It'll be far from sanitary, but as difficult as it'll be, it will be a joyous time. Our Savior will be here in the form of your son. Then Jesus will grow up, and he'll eventually reveal who he is. He will be perfect, both fully God and fully human. He will show us how to love. He'll heal the sick, and he'll give hope to the weary, which is all of us. But he will also die at a relatively young age and suffer beyond anything we can imagine. And Mom, you will watch this happen until the very end. In his final days, he'll be mocked, whipped, and beaten to the point you won't recognize your son. He'll be betrayed, accused, and sentenced to be nailed to a cross. As he hangs on that cross in pain, he'll even feel that God left him. He'll hang there until he can no longer breathe. So those were the hard parts. Who here is ready to get in line?
Even if we could volunteer for this role, we probably wouldn't. It would be too difficult for most, if not all of us. But thankfully, God has already chosen those with whom he found favor to usher in the greatest gift this world has ever been given. A gift in the form of a baby.
Great clip, wasn't it?
Yeah, you can. And obviously the point of the clip was just to show us how tough it must have been for Mary and Joseph to be the earthly parents of Jesus Christ. And we know from the Bible, I'm just going to talk about Mary just for a few moments. We know from the Bible that Mary and Joseph did not volunteer to be the parents of Jesus. God sovereignly chose them. But just because God chose them, it did not mean that they had no choice in the matter. When the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary and announced that she had been chosen to become the mother of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, she could have said, no, choose someone else, please, not me. And we know that today, even people in our own world, our own lives, it's people who say no to God. People say no to God all the time. There's people rejecting God today. And even the innkeeper that was read about earlier, he couldn't even find room for Jesus in his inn, and he gave them his stable instead. And if you remember Joseph, he nearly separated, split up with Mary. And really, you don't blame him. You can understand it when she tried to explain how she got pregnant. Nonetheless, Mary and Joseph, they bravely and they humbly submitted themselves to God, and they became the parents of Jesus Christ. In fact, when the angel Gabriel finished speaking to Mary, Mary responded by saying this. And you've got to remember, Mary is only very young. She was probably maybe about 15. And this is what she said. After hearing everything Gabriel said, she says, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." Mary did not argue with God. Mary did not complain that her plans had been changed. And Mary did not try to negotiate with the angel over the finer points of his announcement to her. On the contrary, Mary totally embraced God's plan for her life, even if it was going to cost her personally, and it did cost her personally. This humility was towards God was Mary's life attitude. Humility of heart was her response to God. Then 30 years later, so you've got Christmas, 30 years later, after that first Christmas, we read in the Bible that Mary still had the same attitude about God and about life. Jesus, who was grown up by now, of course, had just started his ministry, and he'd been invited with his family, his mother, and his disciples to a wedding. But a social disaster was about to take place at the wedding because there was not enough wine to keep everybody happy, and the celebration's going, and no one knew what to do. So Mary, older Mary, used the problem at the wedding to get Jesus involved. And Mary simply said to the servants about Jesus, "Whatever Jesus says to you, just do it. Whatever Jesus says to you, just do it. Don't argue with Jesus. Don't complain about what Jesus is saying to you. Don't try and negotiate with Jesus. Just do what Jesus says." So the servants did exactly that. They obeyed Jesus, and miraculously, we know the story, the water was turned into wine, the wedding was saved. The truth is, from a young age, mid-teens, Mary knew something about life that most people never ever discover. Some people live a long time and they never discover what Mary knew, even though people search for it. Mary knew the purpose of her life. So many people don't know the purpose of their life. Mary knew the purpose of her life. Do you know the purpose of your life? Why are you even here? Do you know the purpose of your life? Now, Mary, we just want to qualify this. She did not have a PhD. She had not gone to university. She was actually uneducated. She came from a lowly social background. Mary actually had no social significance at all. But Mary understood this, that to obey God without complaining, without arguing, and without negotiating with him is the door, and I mean this so sincerely, I hope somebody's listening to me today, this is the door to life fulfillment, purpose, and eternal success. Mary understood that you can only be truly happy, and everybody wants to be happy. Everybody wants to have some joy in life, is that right? We sang it, "Joy to the world, the Lord is." Mary understood that you can only be truly happy in the ups and downs of life and fulfilled, that's important. So many people die unfulfilled. But to be fulfilled and to have authentic purpose when you're doing whatever Jesus tells you to do. You know, some people want to do big, amazing things, climb this, do this, build this, when really it's not rocket science at all. Just do what Jesus tells you to do. Whatever he says to you, he's got it. That is the primary purpose of your life. That's it. That's why you're here. That's why you're breathing right now and your heart's beating. Just do what he says. And just maybe it was because Mary had this kind of humility and this kind of attitude that God chose her to be the mother of Jesus when he avoided others. The truth is, Jesus is also given to me and to you instructions to follow for our lives too. Absolutely he has. We've all been chosen by God. In the Bible, we can read what God has told us to do with our lives so that we can please God and fulfill our true purpose. I'm really pleased that God's written our purpose or his instructions down in the Bible. I prefer this than an angel appearing suddenly to me. Who's with me on that one? I don't think my heart could handle that. Just the Bible's good enough. Amen? Amen. So this is it. Jesus simply said to us, just two major instructions. This is it. You can build your life on this. Love God with all your heart, all your soul, and some of your mind. How much? Absolutely. Love God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. That's instruction number one. Instruction number two. And love your neighbor. That's people. That's a hard bit, isn't it? Love your neighbor as yourself. And these two commands of God, just two major commands, these two commands of God, they define our life purpose. Seriously, they do. And whatever else is going on in your life, whatever decisions you make about where you're going to work, who you're going to marry, if you're going to marry, your achievements, really, they all hang off these two instructions from Jesus. The problem is that we don't do obedience very well. We don't do obedience very well. We don't like commands. We prefer suggestions and options. We want to be the boss. It's all about me. And therein lies the reason why our world is in such a mess today. Everybody wants to be the boss. The peace on earth announcement of the angels when Jesus was born is really only gained when you obey those two simple commands of Jesus Christ. Mary said to the angel who brought the command of God for her life, she says, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you've said about me come true. If you want to embrace, and I'm really trying hard not to sound like a motivational speaker tonight. I'm telling you the truth. I don't want anybody just to go out pepped up just feeling good. I'm telling you the truth. If you want to embrace the purpose of your life, and if you wish to live within the peace of God, then just follow Mary's example of humility. Just follow Mary's example of humility. Without arguing, without complaining, without trying to negotiate with God and twist the Bible to say something else that it doesn't actually say. Just decide to love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. And then explore what that means and what does that look like. Explore those things. Adjust your priorities. Repent of your sin. And just love God. And love other people too. And explore what that looks like in your life. This Christmas time, will you embrace God's purpose for your life like Mary did for her life? You know, the day young Mary said yes to the angel, her life changed. Of course it did. We understand that. It was a fresh start, really, for her. And you could even say that she got born again. That's what really a fresh start is. It's being born again. And the question I've got for everybody here today is, would you like to embrace your true purpose and be made right with God? Be born again. And if that's the case, then just do what Jesus told you to do. Love God, love others, pursue these things, and your life will never be the same again. We know about Mary's response. What will your response be to God's call upon your life? Let's pray, everybody. Let's pray. And I don't know everybody here. I know a lot of people here tonight. I don't know everybody. I don't know where you're at with your life. I don't know what your priorities are. It's actually not my business to know. I don't know where you stand with God. And you know, that's between you and God. But I'm here tonight and I brought this very simple message because God wanted to speak to you today. Just like he sent Gabriel to Mary, I guess you could say he sent me to you tonight. Just to bring a simple message. Love God, love other people. Get born again. Change your priorities. This is your life's purpose. And I just want to invite you to respond to God right now. Mary said, yes. Will you say yes to God today? So with every head bowed, every eye closed, this is your sacred moment. Just claim it. We're going to go in a minute back to the hustle and bustle. But you've got a sacred moment right now to say yes to God. I'd love to say a prayer for you. And where you're seated, I don't want you to come out the front, but where you're seated, if you're saying, yeah, I'm saying yes to God. I know I need to make some adjustments here. I want to love God. I love people. If you love me to say a prayer for you, why don't you just raise your hand, give me a wave right now if that's you. God bless you. Down the back. God bless you. Anybody else? Why don't you put your hand up? You don't need to put it up again, but thank you. Yep, thank you. In the middle. Down, right down the back on my right. Anybody else? Tell you what, as you respond to God and say yes to God today, you're going to have a truly blessed Christmas. Anybody else? Yeah, God bless you over there. Thank you. Over there. Thank you. Anybody else? Yep. Thank you. Okay, we're going to pray right now. 5 more seconds and we're going to pray. Can I pray for you? Okay, every saint of God right now, just praying. You know what's going on. You know what's going on. Remember the time when you raised your hand to God? Maybe you went out the front of the church. Maybe somebody spoke about to you about these matters at home somewhere. You remember your time when you met with God. Right now, other people are meeting with God. So everybody pray. Father, we just come before you this Christmas time. Thank you for Christmas. Thank you, Lord, that Jesus came and stepped into our world to save scumbags like us. Because we needed healing. And there's people here today who've just lifted their hands, and though I've seen it, really, they're lifting their hands to you. There's people who are lifting their hands today, Lord, and they're calling upon your name, and they're making a commitment to you. And Lord, some of them have done bad things, and we pray today that you'll forgive them for their sins. Pray you'll cleanse them. And Lord, we just pray today as they make a commitment to you as they step into 2017, that 2017 will be different to any year they've ever lived before. Pray to year, Lord, where they love God, where they explore what that means and what that looks like, where they learn more about Jesus Christ. We pray you'll touch them right now. Everyone who raised their hand, we pray you'll cleanse their heart. May they know God and be born again, right with God. And Lord, the people in their lives, help them, Lord, to forgive and to love people. In Jesus' precious name. We thank you, Lord, that salvation has visited our church tonight, this Christmas Eve. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, and they shouted. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand.